I'm excited to be able to speak this message. Obviously, it is a three-week message. If you kind of read the card, you can see that it says that there's know-it-alls, seen-it-alls, and have-it-alls. How many of you guys out there have met those people? Most of us. We've definitely met those people out there. Today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the know-it-alls. And this message called Jaded kind of inhabits all those different areas. And I really think it's one of those things that we're probably going to all have to try to maneuver through as Christians and believers. We're going to have to guard ourselves against being a know-it-all and coming into contact with know-it-alls. Also, those that get to start to see it all, because you start to feel all the things that happen in faith and you start to really kind of minimize them, maybe. And then also, there's always something that you have to guard yourself against, and that is the desire for wealth and money, to have it all, to have new things, to have more. So it's those things that we really do have to guard ourselves against, and I'm going to kind of talk through about those different things. And obviously, those things, when we get them, sometimes what happens is we start to receive these things, and because of it, we can become very jaded. We kind of think after a while, it's like, well, those things, you know, I keep getting them. I know more. I've seen more. I have more. And I'm just not happy. I'm kind of jaded, you know. Well, jaded means kind of disillusioned. You know, you're kind of just disillusioned with life. I have this thing where I love etymology, and that's the study of the meaning of the background of words. And the word jaded is an interesting one because it actually comes from a 14th century term. Jade means tired, weary horse. Kind of surprising to me. Or a disreputable woman. So that was kind of surprising too. And I guess if you know, you think about it, someone being dull, worn out, or wearied, I guess a horse or woman could definitely be that after so many years of living. We could see that. So obviously the definition of jaded has changed, just like a lot of words have over the years. You know, if you look at something like even in our society today, we would say something is, you know, sick, and that's supposed to be good. But we know sick was just you're ill, you know, that isn't a good thing. So things have definitely changed over time. My biggest pet peeve is the word flattery. You know, I've taught the kids that in youth years because we always say when someone tells us something, we say we're so flattered. But the word flatter actually means insincere praise. So when you tell someone you're flattered, you're actually saying that they're not giving you a compliment. So actually, we really have changed words over time. And because of that, I think a lot of times there's probably a lot of confusion if you're trying to learn the English language, especially if you're going back in time. You're like, Jade, I thought that was a horse. I don't even know what that means. So anyway, you know, the thing is when you think about the words, how much they change, you can definitely think of the word jade, though, as being dull and worn out. You know, kind of like a knife. I was mentioning that I am the worst person. I have no good knives at all. My knives, I mean, honestly, it can't cut anything. And this is still the one I reach for every single time. And my daughter will come home and she'll say, I cannot believe you're still trying to use those knives. And I'm like, I know, I'm terrible. I need to get new knives. These knives were given to me, I think, at our wedding. And I'm still using them. And I don't think they've ever been sharpened. And we've been married 32 years. So you can tell that they are definitely worn out. But if you think about the word jaded, you can think about tired, worn out, weary, dull, that kind of thing. So we can see that what happens if you use a dull knife, what happens through that is it's not going to cut nice. What it's going to do is you're going to actually probably have to smash something to get it to be like broke down. You know, that's kind of like what all my vegetables look like. They're more smushed than they are chopped, you know. I love watching cooking channels, and every time I'm always like, look at them knives, they're beautiful. But I never buy myself a new knife. So, but you know, we know that we can see that if we use a dull knife, there's more chance of injury too, right? That's when you get hurt. They always say if you have a sharp knife, you're not going to get hurt. You have a dull knife, chances are because you have to push a little harder, you have to work a little bit more, that you're going to harm yourself. This is the same thing with people who are know-it-alls, people who are jaded. What happens is their words over time are dull, and what happens is a lot of times they cause damage. More damage than they are help. So the Urban Dictionary definition of jaded is the end result of having a steady flow of negative experiences, disappointment, and unfulfillment in life when a person gets to the point where their anger circuits burn out and they wearily just accept disillusionment. I can definitely tell you, honestly and truthfully, a lot of areas of my life, am jaded. I have become very jaded, and I've even found myself this last week using that term a little bit more than I thought I would. You know, there's things that in your life that just don't go as well as you thought they were going to go, you know, and you're like, I know we can try to do this different, but more than likely it's not going to happen again. And you're like, I'm just jaded. I just don't know. But you know, the thing is, I think we think a lot of times life is going to go better sometimes than it does, and then it doesn't. And I think sometimes we see a lot of senior citizens that have been very jaded. You know, they're a little angry as soon as you meet them. You're like, okay, calm down. But, you know, the thing is, I think over time it does happen that we become a little bit dull and a little bit wearied. One of the things that you definitely can see that happening is someone who's a know-it-all. Someone who has definitely become a person who tries to, like, tell you everything over life. You know, in life, there's something that's happened in their life, and they want to give you all their experiences. And over time, you're like, okay. But what happens out of that is we become very dull and wearied by listening to a know-it-all. You know, they start to tell us all their things that we should know about life, and you're like, okay, I know. You're going to tell me something about what I'm going to say in just a second. I've known dull people like that. I've known those people who over time are the know-it-alls that every single time you bring up a subject, they are experts. Or they know something that you didn't know, and they're going to share it with you. They're going to share you without you all the information that they have. A lot of times they're just as disillusioned as they are, but you know what they want? They want company. Because it's nice to be have company around you. When you're jaded and you're disillusioned, you want people to be around you who are just as much. For some reason, there's just that comfort in numbers. But if you've been around a know-it-all, you know how dull they can be sometimes. I mean, how many of you have ever just had to fight the idea of like trying not to roll your eyes as they're telling you something again? You're like, uh-huh. And then you walk away and you're just like, oh, I can't take it. You know, you're weary after you're with them. You're exhausted. They always seem to think that they have all the answers to life. Always. Always have an opinion. You tell them something, they're going to tell you what they're thinking. Obviously, you think about the fact that, you know, some new car comes out. You're like, I want that car. That car is so cool. I want it. Right off the bat, it's like, was it a Ford or is it a Chevy? You don't want that. Oh, I heard there's lots of recalls on them. You don't want that car. Oh, yeah, there's been so many problems with that car. And after a while, you literally walk away and you're like, no, I don't even know if I want that car. Because they swayed my opinion and I don't even know if I should get it now. You know, you tell them you're going through school, you're gonna study, you know, you're in college, you're all excited about your profession. And you meet these people and they're like, yeah, you know what? High burnout rate. You're probably not going to like it. That feels not going to be good for you. You're not going to like it. And you're like, okay, all right. All these years I'm putting into it, now I'm wondering what I'm doing next week. I'm going to school or not. I don't know. You know, you tell them this is a beautiful day outside. It's gorgeous. Look at the sun is shining. And they say, enjoy it. I looked at the weather report. Next 3 days, rain. It's coming. You know, there's those people that somehow just kind of suck the life out of you. They're so dull. They're so weary because they know so much, and they're going to tell you. I definitely met those know-it-alls in my life. I'm sure you guys have. I'm sure you come into contact with them many, many, many times. I sometimes have to stop myself, you know, because, like, I am a weather person. I do check out the weather, and I like to know the weather. Not in the winter. I'm really weird. I don't check the weather in the winter because, to me, it's just like one whole season of nothing but dull gray. Ugh. But when it starts to get spring, I want to know when them sunny days are coming, you know. That's when I'm like all checking out the weather. But, you know, obviously the know-it-alls are weary and they're tiring and they're dull. But the very, very worst know-it-all that you will ever meet is a spiritual know-it-all. The Christian know-it-all sometimes. Those are the people that can be very, very tough. Those are the people that are going to warn you. They think it's their job to warn you of things before you even thought about them. You don't even know what to worry about, but they're going to start giving you all those things to worry about as soon as you say that you're a follower in Christ. They're going to start telling you, oh yeah, you know, just wait, you know, till you read that. That's going to be a struggle for you. And you're like, oh, I didn't even know that. Well, maybe I don't know. And you start to second guess yourself. A spiritual know-it-all can do a lot of damage really quick to a new believer. And we have to really guard ourselves against that. That's one of those things that's really, really tough. Like I say, there's things that, you know, a seasoned know-it-all Christian will tell a new believer, and they don't even realize sometimes the damage that they do. Sometimes there's so many opinions. If you've ever looked on the internet about somebody that's a speaker What happens is you get one or two people that say they're great, and then they'll get about 40 or 50 that have every negative thing to say about them. You know, there's this negativity in Christianity a lot of times where we like to throw each other under the bus, other Christians. For some reason, it is just like, you know, like they say, Bigfoot eat their young. You know, Christians seem to eat their young a lot. And I think it's a shame that we do that, but we do. And I think a lot of times it's because of the fact that we don't stop and think about our words being so harmful on a new believer. You know, if you look at a new believer, you know, they're just starting to learn. They're just starting to develop. They're babies. You know, the Bible tells us they're spiritual babies. And it doesn't matter if they're 10 or they're 100. If you're a new believer just accepting Christ for the first time, really understanding your faith, starting to really get it, you're still a new believer. And what happens a lot of times is people come in and they start to tell them all these things. What happens is we're spiritual babies just learning how to crawl. And what a spiritual know-it-all will do is they'll come in and they'll try to teach you how to drive a car. They're going to start telling you that, you know, you need to learn the Greek meaning of that. Or, you know, what you need to learn is, you know, what you're reading there, you're getting it from that. But, you know, you don't understand. If you look through the definition, there's more meaning than that. And you're like, man, I was just enthralled by what it told me and spoke to me in that little message. I didn't know that there's a deeper. And you're telling me it doesn't even mean what I thought it meant. It was really, like, soothing to my soul to read what I read. And then you're telling me that's not even what it meant. Sometimes we think that we're doing good, but what we're doing is we're making someone feel more burdened a lot of times. What happens also is a new baby believer, a new Christian, they just need to drink milk, right? We know the Bible says that they're just spiritual babies. They need to drink milk. But what a lot of times a Christian know-it-all will do, a super spiritual person will do, is they'll come in and they'll tell them, you don't want milk no more. What you want is you need to go deeper. Here, let me give you a steak. That's what you need. You need a steak. And I know you want a ribeye, but you have to have the filet. And you got to cook it this way, and this is how it has to be. There's this whole pressure of doing everything the way another believer does. You know, that's where you get a lot of the denominationalism happens. You know, you'll start to become a believer, and God just wants us all to be Christians, followers of Christ. That's what it's supposed to be. But what happens out of denominationalism is they start to tell you, like, no, no, you can't do that. You only can do this. So this filet all of a sudden has to be served to you in a certain way. It has to be served at a certain time. You know, you might want to, you know, eat your steak at 6 p.m., but they're telling you, no, 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 you need to eat that steak at 6 a.m., if you don't get up and eat that steak first thing at 6 a.m., you're not going to make it. You're like, well, I don't want to eat a steak at 6 a.m. And they're like, no, no, you have to. Because if you're going to make it through your day, you have to eat that steak at 6 a.m., not at 6 p.m. And then they're going to tell you, well, who's feeding you that steak? You got a woman server? Only a man can serve you that steak. A woman can't serve you that steak. So there's another, like, burden that we're putting on them. And then, not only that, but you know what? What are you wearing when you're eating that steak? What do you got on? You can't have jeans. You can't have jeans on and eat it, or shorts to wear and eat a steak. You have to put on a tie. You have to put on a suit to eat a steak. What happens is we put so many burdens on a new believer that after a while they're like, this is too hard. I don't even want to do this no more. And see, the thing is, that's not how God intended it to be. That's what people have done. People have done that to God's word, and God's like, no, that's not at all what I intended. I intended with Jesus that it was all about freedom. It's all about freedom in Christ. That's what it's about. You know, but we have this idea that we want to share all this information with people because we found out what works for us. But the thing is, God made us all very individual. And what works for some person as a believer isn't going to work necessarily for the other person. I know people who love to read their Bible first thing in the morning. They love it. I get up, I think about God, I praise God, I worship God, but I can tell you, I do not pray and I do read my Bible at 6 a.m. I don't. And I haven't for all my life. But I will tell you, I always end the day with reading God's word. It's always there in my day. But why is it that we have to specifically tell somebody when? And I'm not saying it wouldn't probably be better. Maybe I would be better. But you know what? I realize in my life, it doesn't work well for me. And God knows I have OCD. God knows I have to vacuum and clean and get stuff settled before I can do this. He knows all I would do is sit there and reread over and over and over again because I keep looking at that dirt over and over. I have to just kind of like push stuff out of my way to move on. God works with me through all my failures and flaws. And he's like, hey, if you want to read at the end of the day, you go right ahead. If you want to read in your jammies, you do it. No big deal. It's okay. It doesn't matter. We obviously understand that, you know, being a new believer is tough. There's lots of stuff to navigate. You know, when you start to become a new believer, you start to realize as you read God's word that these people went through tough times. These disciples went through terrible, terrible pain and hurt and struggles. And we know the disciples, for the most part, I mean, all of them died for their faith. I mean, even John, who they always say was, you know, cast off to the island of Patmos. And everybody sounds like, well, that doesn't sound so bad. It's an island. It wasn't a good island when you're by yourself. And no one ever stops to remember that John actually first got boiled in oil. Just didn't kill him. So, I mean, actually, he still went through lots of turmoil and trouble. So you've got this tough time we know is coming. Being a Christian is not easy. No matter how many people out there are telling you that it is. You know, when you're a Christian, you just use that as a crutch. It's like you've never really seriously followed being a Christian then, because being a Christian in today's world is not easy. There's a lot of negativity thrown with it, and a lot of times we're considered the weak ones, when I know better after dealing with what you deal with. But you know, that's not going to be easy. We know it's going to be high highs and low lows. We know that there's going to be times when we read God's word that it's going to be this mountaintop experience where you're like, God is so amazingly good. He's answered my prayers. He's with me. I feel him. And then honestly, it could be the very next day where you're like, where are you, God? I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't know what you're doing. My life's falling apart, and I don't know if I can make it. We know that that happens. We read the Bible. We see that those things are going to take place. But a lot of times we don't stop and realize that one of the biggest things we're going to have a trouble in when we become a new believer is a lot of times is each other. That's a lot of times where our struggles can be. You know what? I've dealt with that. I've dealt with that. You know, here we are. We're people that we accept this freedom that God offers. You know, he's so gracious. You know, we're so much failures and flaws. And, you know, the Bible tells us that even the vilest of offenders, if they sincerely repent, are forgiven by God. Now, I'm thankful it doesn't depend on me, because I would have a hard time with a lot of people's sin. I'm not God, and that's obvious with how I would be forgiving. But, you know, God's so gracious, and he offers this freedom. I mean, these burdens that just get lifted when we come to him and we accept him as our Savior. When we say, God, I am so flawed. I need your help. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And when you come to him and he says, you're forgiven, and that is just released from you. It's just this amazing walk that you feel so light. And he says, my burden is light. I want to give that to you. But what happens is a lot of times as other believers start coming into your life, and what they do is they start putting all these weights on you like you're a pack animal. You have to do this. You have to do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And before long, you start to be so burdened and weighed down, and you're like, where's my freedom? My freedom is gone. I don't feel that no more. All I feel is like I'm just so weary, and I'm so dull, and I'm so jaded. Is this what faith was? Is this what it was supposed to be? Because if this is it, I don't know if I want it. And I really believe there's so many people out there that have probably accepted Christ and have done that. They've been so traumatized by each other in the faith that a lot of times they're like, I just can't go on. And I think we have to be cautious, because us as new believers have to navigate through that, and also us as believers have to be careful that we don't do that to a new believer also. It's so important. And it can happen so easily. I definitely think know-it-alls used to intimidate me. There used to be those people that would always come up